When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Emily, and we're back with another Thursday episode. Bow, bow.
Bow, bow. We're back, bitches. We don't go anywhere, but we're back.
We've been sitting here the whole time, but we are back.
Fruit pants still on. Disco top still going strong.
Lauren, you're like a woman about town. Like, you're everywhere these days.
Call me a slut? No.
Lauren, you're a woman of ill repute.
I'm a woman of the streets.
No, you're everywhere right now. Like, you just did this article. Oh, you were interviewed for this NBC article.
I'm having a pop-off moment.
And I want to talk to you about it because it actually relates so well to, we were planning to discuss another article about plus-size influencers being paid to take Ozempic.
Our girl, Carrie Justich.
Yeah, who we met at that Katie Couric dinner.
Our reporter friends. So we have reporter friends now.
We have cool writer friends now.
And she had this article in Yahoo News about how semaglutide companies have been reaching out specifically to plus-size creators to pay them to take these drugs. And is that problematic?
From the drug manufacturers or whoever is in charge of reaching out, it makes sense for them. Like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, of course they are. Because obviously that would be the perfect person to promote GLP-1s would be a plus size influencer who already has a lot of followers.
Quote unquote show results.
Sure. Yeah.
And
but it can't be good for the people who follow them, assuming that it is a fat positive space.
Well, here's my issue is, if these companies want to reach out to plus size accounts that aren't actively body positive, fat positive spaces, I guess that's fine. Like, a lot of accounts already were weight loss accounts, you know, so like that's your target audience. But what I have a problem with is they were reaching out to like Virgie Tovar. They were reaching out to fat activists. To me, that is just like attempted erasure. You're trying to knock down these pillars of fat safety. And it's like, that's, like, this is our podcast. I'm going to say it. Fuck you. Okay.
Yeah.
Back the fuck off.
Yeah. No, that it is so hilarious that they reached out to Virgie Tovar.
Go somewhere else. Like that. this place is not for you.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Virgie Tovar is, like Lauren said, a fat activist, like very, very anti-dieting, very anti-weight stigma. I mean, this is like her bread and butter, right?
Just go to a weight loss account. Why are you going to these?
Right. They didn't know anything about her. That's the only thing I can assume.
Not to be tinfoil hat, but I think they knew everything about her.
Really?
I think they were like, where can we go to really get the most people? How can we
like shake things up?
Yeah. How can we promote our message that, you know, thin is better, and it's, you go to the fat safe spaces to remove them. Like, those are because those are the spaces people go to, you know, reinforce what they've learned about, you know, not wanting to lose weight. So if those spaces become weight loss spaces, then that's like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It's like a new demographic that they're reaching, essentially. It's like you're going to the people that like wouldn't be consumers of your product, and you're trying to get in there.
It just feels like It feels even more dramatic than that. It feels like erasure.
No, I feel you. And in this Yahoo article, they specifically talked about Virgie because she posted a selfie with a note card. Like, she's holding a note card that says, I don't want Ozempic. Because right. She had been reached out to so much.
She had to make a post to be like, stop asking me.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there are also people that, for whatever reason, are accepting these offers. Oh, yeah,
I've seen the accounts. Like, it's happening. And I think that leads into the interview I did with Callan Rosenblatt at NBC News. She was writing an article. I feel like it started one way, and then I really love that she reached out to me for a plus size perspective, a plus Lauren segment.
Yeah, it basically was.
It was literally a plus Lauren segment. And the concept of her article was that there are these plus size influencers online who were previously known for body positivity and fat positivity and like fat fashion and stuff. And a lot of those accounts seemingly overnight have turned into weight loss accounts. And some are more, you know, evangelical than others. Some accounts, people are just quietly losing weight and you're like, oh, this person used to be a plus size influencer and now...
Wait, so they're still posting the same type of content, but they're losing weight? Or has their content changed too? Like, is it less about body positivity?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're like, well, why can't this be body positive if I'm doing this for my health or because it's my choice? And the thing is, like, that's fine. Like,
it is your choice.
The thing, yeah, that's what I said in the interview. I was like, two things are happening here. Like, you can do whatever you want with your body. I'm never going to go in somebody's DMs and be like, you need to gain weight to bring back this safe space. Like
no,
that's not what I'm here to say. That's just as bad
as telling somebody that they need to lose weight.
Exactly.
You know? So in this article, it seemed like a lot of it, or some of it at least, was from the perspective of the influencers, like the concerns that the influencers have about losing trust, their followers losing trust in
right.
them.
Right. A lot of them have lost followers and, you know, they're upset about it and they feel like it's not fair that they're losing followers and that followers are saying things like, you've betrayed us. And I feel like we just have to be empathetic for both of these groups. Mm-hmm. And by both of these groups, I mean the people who are taking semaglutides and the people who are triggered by people taking them. You know, it's just like, again, it's like two things are true. I'm not going to tell you to go change your body, but also people recovering from eating disorders, people in bigger bodies, you know, who've been fighting to survive, they're going to be triggered when seemingly overnight all of these accounts, plus size accounts, are no longer plus size accounts. It just, both are true. It is what it is. Like, people are going to unfollow you. That's okay. And if people you love have started weight loss journeys, it's okay to feel grief about that. I just want to say that. It is okay to feel a sense of grief about that. But you can mute it. You know, if you want to support their journey without being triggered, mute. Don't unfollow. Just do a little mute toggle. They can keep your follow.
Oh, and you don't interesting. Gotta watch. Oh, that's interesting. See, I would say if it's not for you anymore, unfollow. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly, it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Newly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
I made this comparison, and it might not be a perfect comparison, but I think it's pretty close. There's a subset of influencers that are deaf influencers. Mm-hmm. And the deaf community, there's like groups that they really reject hearing culture in the sense that they don't want to adapt their lives to like fit into the hearing world.
A lot of deaf people don't view being deaf as a disability.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not a disability. It's something that makes us unique. It's our culture.
Right.
We're not getting cochlear implants. Some deaf people won't even wear hearing aids. They're like, no, we do sign language. Like, this is our culture.
Right.
And then there are deaf people that aren't like that. You know, they're not a monolith in the same way that fat people aren't a monolith.
Exactly.
So I made the comparison that if there was a deaf influencer that was really, was that kind of deaf person who views deafness as a culture, was very vocal about not wearing hearing aids and whatnot, and then suddenly they decided to get a cochlear implant.
That's such and a then, good comparison, yeah.
And then they started posting about it and like how their life has changed and what I would expect. Mm-hmm. A lot of people to unfollow them because their interests wouldn't align.
But also, they didn't do anything wrong. Like, they made a personal choice to do this thing. That's what these plus size influencers are doing. They're making choices. Whether it's choices I would make, I would not. You know, is besides the point.
Yeah,
people can do what they want. I think I surprised the reporter. I think she was like, "What do you think about all this?" And I was like, "I think people can do whatever they want with their bodies."
Oh, do you think she was expecting you to be a little more like
gung-ho, like,
yeah, Ozempic
is the devil. You know, like, there's obviously a lot of issues, or it's a complicated thing. It is overprescribed and abused for weight loss, but I'm never going to tell somebody what to do with their body. Like, that's never going to be me, but I am going to always advocate for fat people to find the places that feel safe to them, that feel not triggering, that feel like they're with like-minded people, because a lot of them, you know, struggle to even find
community.
Yeah, like, there's fat people only have like a couple types of community. There's weight loss community, which is like the biggest one, you know, like Weight Watchers, stuff like that. And then there's fashion community, which is nice and wholesome because you can be on a weight loss journey or not, and we all need to wear clothes, you know. And then there's the third one, which is the new one that's really lovely, which is fat community that just is. And it's not based on weight loss, you know? And that community is shrinking. It just is a fact. We don't have to demonize anybody for it, but that is a fact. And that is happening. And I feel like we're getting hung up on, oh, like we need to talk about Ozempic or demonizing this person or that person. And it's like, no, we need to think about the overall anti-fat bias that's happening, the overall diet culture that's getting stronger. Like it's hurting everybody, but it's putting fat people in danger. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of don't care if people are losing followers. I know that sounds harsh.
Lauren, I am not shedding a single tear for an influencer
it's gonna happen.
Who's losing followers for doing something that they wouldn't have been about 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like I'm just picturing these influencers, you know, they're using Ozempic and then they're losing followers and they're staring out the window. And it's just like,
stop.
My tea's gone cold. I'm wondering why I got out of bed. I'm like, I can't be sad. No. I'm not sad.
It's like you're doing what.
By the way, there are plenty of people that do want to follow weight loss accounts.
That's where I was going, actually, is like you're not. I'm trying not to be a bitch because I support what anybody wants to do with their body. But it is just very defensive when you watch these videos and they're like, I'm going to reduce stigma, and they take their shot on camera and they're like, and you know, screw the haters. And I'm on a weight loss journey. If you don't agree, get out. And it's like, you're doing what the culture at large wants you to do. Like you have more people rooting for you than not, quote unquote, rooting for you.
Yeah, it's like just taking away the stigma. What are you talking about? That's when I start getting a little fired up.
I just don't think we need to be so defensive. I think do what you want to do with your body. And if people are going to follow you, like it's not personal. They're trying to survive.
Fat people have been stigmatized forever, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, if you're not being stigmatized for being fat, you're being stigmatized for taking Ozempic. Nobody's stigmatizing you for losing weight. Like that's what people have.
They're feeling stigmatized from followers. Like there are people who are saying, hey, you betrayed me. You did this. You did that. But those people are wrong. Like that's not their business. And I think that's why I'm really glad the reporter reached out to me, because I think the article almost went in kind of a not great direction where it was like, oh, no, look at these influencers who people are being mean to them. And it's like, no. There is a bigger thing happening right now with fat people being in danger is that, you know, thinspo is back, diet culture is back, weight loss is back, you know, and it's very, we already went through this in the early 2000s as millennials. We're like, enough, we don't want to do it again, you know. Mm-hmm. An analogy that comes to mind, and I did try to look this up because it's a really good analogy. It's like anonymous. I don't know who came up with it, but there's this analogy that if you put fire ants and black ants in a jar, they're going to be chill. They're going to be fine. But if you shake the jar violently, they're going to kill each other because they're going to think each other is the enemy. But really, the hand that shook the jar is the enemy. So in this case, the hand shaking the jar is diet culture, is anti-fat bias. Like, fat people aren't each other's enemies is what I'm trying to say. Like, we're focusing on the wrong things. Like, we're focusing on personal choices. What we should be focusing on is this culture of anti-fat bias that's back. Like, that's right. What I'm trying to say. And I'm sure I've said a lot of things wrong, and I'm really sorry if I offended anybody listening to this, but that's what I'm trying to say.
It's a very difficult topic, and it's easy to get mixed up. Like, there are a lot of emotions at play. But I get what you mean. The followers are unfollowing people that have suddenly become weight loss accounts because they feel unsafe. So the focus shouldn't be on this micro situation,
yeah,
on whether they're
a tiny part of the bigger picture.
It's like, okay, well, why do people feel unsafe?
Right.
How can we address the fact that a lot of people do feel unsafe right now? And how is this going to turn out for fat people down the line? Because I've thought about that too. Mm-hmm. It's so dystopian. I have complicated feelings about this as well, because I know that a lot of people feel really great about their Ozempic journeys. They feel good about their weight loss journeys. And if you feel good, who am I to say like, oh, you shouldn't feel good?
Yeah, do your thing.
And also, when I was fat, if this was a widespread known thing, taking weight loss drugs, and I had access to it, I definitely would have taken it.
Yeah, it's like it's seen as a lifeline for people. And I understand it because live in diet culture.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
When I start to get worried is when I think about fat people who don't want to take this drug for whatever reason, whether it be because we don't know the long-term effects or they don't feel like it's safe for them. They just don't feel like it's the right decision for them. Then down the line, they're only going to face more stigma from people being like, well, you could fix that though. You could just take a drug and lose weight, but you're not doing that. So then I'm going to mistreat you because you're not, quote, addressing your health.
Somebody brought that up at the press dinner. She was a weight stigma researcher at Rutgers, Joy. I forget her last name. We'll call her Dr. Joy. And she was like, what does this do? Does this create a new layer of stigmatization for fat people? Because, I mean, they're already stigmatized because there's this idea, this false idea that, oh, well, you can change that. It's different than race because you can't change your race, but you can change your size, even though we know body diversity is real.
Yeah, you know? 100%. And by the way, that some people can change their size more easily than other people.
But you shouldn't stigmatize somebody because they didn't change their size.
No, and you shouldn't just assume that because one person could change their size that this other person can do it. I think that's something that's kind of misunderstood. It's like a nuance that's kind of looked over in this conversation is like, no, we're not saying that all fat people couldn't lose weight if they wanted to. Some can. For some people, it's easier. For other people, it's more difficult.
Over 90% of attempts at weight loss fail.
Right, but some...
I'm saying they can't.
But like some people can. Like, for example, I lost, 75 pounds.
Yeah, you're in the, if I was rounding up 10% of fat people who without, the assistance of drugs can lose weight. Like there's, I'll put some links in this episode. Like over 90% of attempts at weight loss fail and or result in weight cycling or more weight gain over time.
Yeah, and but I think the reason for that is diet culture. Like the reason for that is because we're always trying to push these diets on people that aren't sustainable and you can't stick to it. But that's not even the only reason. Like I'm not even getting into all the reasons. You just can't assume that one thing is going to work for somebody else. And it's the same thing with these drugs is what I'm saying. Like you can't just assume, oh, yeah, you could change your weight. Just like you can't assume like, oh, you could just change your weight with diet and exercise.
Right.
It's not, it's just it's not going to be a thing also, that works for everyone.
It's so comp. It's like, not a doctor. I'm not an expert on this drug, but we do know some things about it. It's expensive. Okay. Not everybody has access to it. It's recommended to be taken with close medical supervision. And in our medical care system as it is, like, that's not happening. That's definitely not happening.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, we'd now have research to show as soon as you stop taking it, you immediately gain the weight back. So it right. is like, it's not, so people choosing to take it, I support their decision. That is their body. But the fact that people are acting like it's Trim Spa Baby or something, that's what's problematic to me. It's like, no, this is a lifelong decision people are making. Yeah. It's like, you can't just say like, oh, go take Ozempic. It's like, oh, it's like a whole thing.
You mean get prescribed this thing for the rest of my life yeah. that I need to then refill every month for the rest of my life?
It's just a deeply personal decision. And if people don't want to share if they're taking it or like, you don't have to. Like, I don't know why we're coming at each other so hard. Like,
I know.
What you want with your body, but understand, you know, some people are maybe going to unfollow you if that's not why they were there.
Right. Because it's triggering.
Yeah.
It just is.
This is not an easy subject to talk about. Emily and I are both very like, what do we say? I think we're kind of figuring out this age of Ozempic as it happens. Yeah, you know
I really don't love talking about it.
I hate this, but I know we have to talk about it.
No matter what I say about it, it feels like I'm hurting people's feelings. And I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings.
No, me neither.
I have said-
I'm trying to say, let's come together.
I have said more than once, I understand the mentality so well.
Right.
I would have taken this drug.
Right.
If somebody offered it to me, 100%. There was one doctor.
I think me too, honestly.
Well, at one point, I'm sure.
When you're pursuing weight loss and somebody offers you something that is showing weight loss results,
that makes it so much easier.
You're probably going to try it.
Right.
But again, it is like this complicated thing that people don't have access to and you have to see a doctor. And the one thing I will make an opinion on is I think we should not act like it's a, like an easy solution that you can just do and try and.
No. And my thing is like, I just feel like it makes food repulsive to you. And I don't know if that's the answer. Like I've said this before. People
Yeah, that's how you feel about it for your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Like people get mad at me, but I just.
Who's mad at you? Nobody should be mad at you if that's how you feel like you would be with the drug.
Like I said, I would have taken it if somebody offered it to me, but I would have had to stay on it for the rest of my life. And I never would have reached this place that I'm in now with true food freedom that I think is so rewarding. It's mm-hmm. not just about the food. It's like my mentality, the way that I live my yeah. life, like food doesn't control me.
Girl, I'm right there with you.
And I feel like if you take this drug, like, yes, it makes food less desirable to you. So if you're a binge eater, like I could see that being a huge relief. And when I was mm-hmm. a binge eater, if I had taken this drug and like suddenly I don't want to binge, oh my God, amazing.
Right.
But deep down, I still have a fucked up relationship with food.
Right.
And that's like something that plagued me my whole life.
No, there's a lot of people with active eating disorders who are taking it and don't yeah. have a full understanding of what's going on. But
and that's upsetting. Yeah,
it's their choice.
It is their choice.
I'll say why I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it because it really does, you know, you lose communication with
your body.
With your body. And I love talking to her.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't make you just feel full. You literally are full. Like I've done a ton of research on it. Like the lizard thing that's in it. I should probably use the actual word. But
I don't even know what you're talking about. The lizard.
The particle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In
now
the
I know
drug.
It. Yeah.
It actually expands in your stomach. So you are literally full.
Right.
You don't think you're full. You are full.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not full.
Your intestine is being emptied slower.
Right, right. And it's like, no, I like talking to her. Like, I like hearing everything. And I get that that's harder for some people, but.
Oh, it's extremely hard.
You know, I'm at a place where I like having the body chat with myself, but I would never.
Push that on someone
else.
No. Yeah, of course not.
I think that's why people are mad at each other is because everybody thinks they're pushing it on each other. And it's like, I don't think they are. I think maybe we feel defensive because it's such a sensitive topic. But I guess my advice is do what you want to do.
Do what you want. And what you want with your body.
Yeah. And then just like, don't attack other people. Like go where you need to go.
Yeah. And so going backtracking a little bit, that's why I think if you're triggered by your favorite fat influencer suddenly on this weight loss journey or taking a weight loss drug, hit unfollow, like, because I think it's important to prioritize your mental health right now.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of shit in the air.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Well, anyways, follow the Instagram account connected to this podcast.
The name is changing.
The name is changing. The name is also changing for this podcast, mainly because, you know, we're not dieting anymore. The diet does not start tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, well, actually, with that in mind, like how somebody might be triggered or somebody might perceive what we do wrong, you know, like I don't want somebody to see Diet Starts Tomorrow and think that this is a podcast about getting skinny.
Exactly.
Because I don't want somebody to think that and then not listen because they think it's not a safe space. Mm-hmm. But also I don't want somebody who like is on a weight loss journey to waste their time, you know, like.
Yeah, you want to find your place. Yeah. And so this is sort of a bat signal to any listeners who, you know, are not on weight loss journeys and they want to find places that aren't promoting that. And you can find that here on this podcast. You can find it on the Instagram. You can find it on my personal Instagram, mm-hmm. Lauren Hope Crass. You can find it Emily Lubin.
I'm a huge ally.
You know, there's lots of accounts and places to go. So thank you for hearing us out. Again, this is a sensitive topic that Emily and I both have nerves chatting about. Thank you for your patience with us. We're trying to talk about it in a thoughtful way. We're all in this together. We're here for you. Come follow our accounts, hang out. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram. And if you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And while you're at it, follow me at Lubination.
Follow me at Lauren Hope Crass. And of course, we're always with you.
Through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Rebecca Steinberg and Lauren Hope Crass. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Social media by Lauren Hope Crass. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on all socials and send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Betches.